भगवते वासुदेवाय।
ॐ
नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। श्रीमद् भागवतम् First Canto, Chapter 1, Text 21. Cell phone check. All the cell phones are off or silent. And welcome to Mansi Ganga. Hare Krishna. Kalim.
Kalim.
Agatam.
Agatam.
Adhyaya.
Adhyaya.
Kshetresmin.
Vaishnave,
Vayam, Asina, Dirgha, Satrena, Katayam, Sakshana, Ade, Kalimagatamagyaya, Kshetresmin Vaishnave, Vayam, Asina dirga satrena,
Asina dirga satrena,
Kayam sakshana hade,
Kayam sakshana hade,
Kalima gatama gyaya,
Kalima gatama gyaya,
Kshetresmin Vaishnave vayam,
Kshetresmin Vaishnave vayam,
Asina dirga satrena,
Asina dirga satrena,
Kayam sakshana hade,
Kayam sakshana hade,
Kalima gatam agyaya,
Kalima gatam agyaya,
Kshetresmin
Vaishnave vayam,
Asina dirga satrena,
Asina dirga satrena,
Kayam sakshana hade,
Kayam sakshana hade,
Kalimagatamagyaya, Krishnin Vaishnave Vayam. Asinam Dirga Satrena. Kathayam Sakshanahare.
Kalim.
Kalim.
The age of Kali.
The age of Kali.
Iron age of quarrel.
Agatam.
Having arrived.
Akyaya.
Knowing this.
Kshetre.
In this tract of land.
Asmin.
In this.
Vaishnave.
Specially meant for the devotee of the Lord.
Vayam.
We.
Asina.
Seated.
Dirgha.
Prolonged. Satrena. For performance of sacrifices.
Kathayam.
In the words of.
Sakshana.
With time at our disposal.
Harehe.
Of the personality of Godhead. Knowing well that the age of Kali has already begun, we are assembled here in this holy place to hear at great length the transcendental message of Godhead and in this way perform sacrifice. Purport. This age of Kali is not at all suitable for self-realization, as was Satyayuga, the golden age, or Treta or Dwapara Yugas, silver and copper ages. For self-realization, the people in Satyayuga, living a lifetime of 100,000 years, were able to perform prolonged meditation. And in Treta Yuga, when the duration of life was 10,000 years, self-realization was attained by performance of great sacrifice. And in the Dwapara Yuga, when the duration of life was 1,000 years, self-realization was attained by worship of the Lord. But in the Kali Yuga, the maximum duration of life being 100 years only, and that combined with various difficulties, the recommended process of self-realization is that of hearing and chanting of the holy name, fame, and pastimes of the Lord. The sages of Nainisharanya began this process in a place meant specifically for the devotees of the Lord. They prepared themselves to hear the pastimes of the Lord over a period of 1,000 years. By the example of these sages, one should learn that regular hearing and recitation of the Bhagavatam is the only way for self-realization. Other attempts are simply a waste of time, for they do not give any tangible results. Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu preached this system of Bhagavad Dharma, and he recommended that all those who were born in India should take the responsibility of broadcasting the messages of Lord Sri Krishna, primarily the message of Bhagavad Gita. And when one is well established in the teachings of Bhagavad Gita, he can take up the study of Srimad Bhagavatam for further enlightenment in self-realization.
Om Ajnanti Nirandhasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Militam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manogistam Sthapitam Jena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Padamaitam Tathati Shapatantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jata Tadakamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavanscha Shri Bhutam Svaprajatam Sahagana Ragatatanditam Stam Sajivam Svadvaitam Savatutam Prajana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam
Sri Radha Krishna Padana Sahagata Vinita Sri Vishakhanditanscha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Vandho Jatakpade Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Taptakam Shana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshari Prishabhanu Sute Dehi Pratamami Pune Pride Vancha Kotatiru Jascha Kripa Sindho Vyevacha Patitanam Pavanevyo Vaishnavevyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaur Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Kale Mahagatama Gyara Kshetresmin Vaishnave Vayam Asina Durga Dirgha Sutrena Katayam Sakshana Hare Kali Mahagata Kali Yuga has come, but not Kali Swagata. It's not very welcome in Kali Yuga. Although it's said that the thoughtful persons welcome this age from the point of view, first of all, that in previous ages, not only if you did something, but if you thought something sinful, you got the reaction. But in Kali Yuga, you actually have to do it to get the reaction. Thinking it doesn't result in that consequence. And moreover, the great thing about Kali Yuga is Kirtana Deva Krishnasya Mukta Sangha. One can go back to Godhead simply by chanting. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krite yat yayato Krishna. In the Satya Yuga, the method of realization was meditation. When we read in the sixth chapter of Bhagavad Gita about the Ashtanga Yoga system, that's the system that was performed in the Satya Yuga. Sucho Deshe Pratishtapya Stirna Masana Vatmana Najutritam Najini Cham Chai Lajin Kushokaram. In that way, one had to sit in the proper place, in a secluded place, a holy place, put down a deer skin and a soft cloth on kusha grass. Not too high, not too low, and sit with neck and back and head erect with the eyes focused on the tip of the nose, half open, the eyes half open, half closed. And then one had to withdraw the senses from all outward activity. One had to perform arduous breathing exercises by which one offered the incoming breath into the outcoming, the outgoing into the incoming, and finally one reached equilibrium in which breathing would essentially stop. So the whole mechanism is now in equilibrium, and then it focuses the mind on the super soul within the heart. And one could actually see the Supreme Personality of Godhead within. The yogis would actually, by their meditation, see the personality of God. But Arjuna said, my dear Krishna, this system that you're describing is impossible for me to perform. The mind is so difficult to control that I don't see how there's any possibility of following the system. And that was Arjuna, such a great person. He frankly admitted that he was unable to follow this system. And we think that we're going to sit in a gymnasium someplace in the middle of Nairobi, and we're going to practice yoga, sitting in a room full of young, healthy men and women. We're going to meditate on the super soul of the heart and actually see it. It's a joke. It's totally a joke. Maybe one's figure can improve. That's another thing. But not one's consciousness. One doesn't see the personality of Godhead that way. Patena Jayan, where's the time? The yogis used to meditate for 50,000 years, 75,000 years, 80,000 years. This is not a quick and easy yoga system. People used to live for 100,000 years. But gradually things decrease, diminish, deteriorate. So that by the end of Satyuga, people only live for 10,000 years. Kriteya jayato vishnu tretayam yajatomaka. And in that age, the system is sacrifice. But not sacrifice like these little agnihotras that they'd like you to do in your home. You light a lamp and you wait around a little bit, say a few mantras, and that's your agnihotra. Not that kind of sacrifice. They used to have qualified Brahmins who were so expert that by their chanting of mantras, they could make extraordinary things happen. They would test the mantra by killing an animal, Ashwamedha, Gometa, killing an old bull, and bringing it back to life by the power of mantras. The mantras, there were four priests, and one did this, and one did that, chanted this way, another chanted that way. There was one priest who'd be listening to the others, and if there was something that was not exactly right in the tone or accent, he would fire the retro rockets. He would chant in a little different way to keep it on course. There was an intricate system of chanting, yes. We read that they could fire nuclear weapons by chanting. The Kshatriyas could do that. They could fire Brahmastras, they could do so many things just by sound. So the chanting of the expert Brahmins was the crucial feature of the sacrifice. It's a technical thing, just as the yoga system is a very technical system. You have to follow the right procedures the right way, where you don't get the right results. Like laboratory experiments, if you contaminate the instruments and you don't follow the procedures, you spoil the result. So they would perform these sacrifices, highly learned Brahmins, and everything had to be set up. The altar was set up in a certain way, the fire was lit in a certain way, things were in this direction and that direction, and the utensils would be gold, and so much gold would be given in charity, and so much ghee and grain would be thrown into the fire. I mean, grand scale, the government. This was like a government enterprise. Just like now you get these huge laboratories costing billions and trillions. Nobody can afford such a thing except the government. Or a corporation subsidized by the government. So it was the government that would sponsor these sacrifices. The kings would do it, not the ordinary citizen. Huge expenditure. And the Brahmins would provide the technical expertise and the spiritual purity by which the sacrifice could be performed. Now, and we read even that sometimes the personality of Godhead himself would appear in the sacrifice. And the demigods would come and take part in the sacrifice. Nobody can do that now. Just we light a little deep and we say we're doing the yajna. Or even in the temples we do a little homa or something. But that's more or less just to create an impression that yes, we're doing something serious here. But we're not doing all of this technical stuff. Our real homa, our
real yogi is simply chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare.
Hare Hare Ram, Hare Ram.
So this sacrificial system belongs to the Treta Yuga. Dwapara Pracharya. By the beginning of Dwapara Yuga, your lifetime goes down to 1,000 years. And the system of worship in that age is temple worship. That's the method of spiritual realization. And not our modern temple worship, huge. They had huge temples, like palaces and forts, and so many pujaris and so much. And the pujaris were also very expert, very learned. They knew shastra, they knew so many things. And so much grand scale service would be done for the Lord. Now in Kali Yuga, practically, there's so many temples, mostly they're neglected. There are only a few high profile temples, Tirupati Balaji, Guru Vayur, some other temples that are very well maintained. But there's, for every one that's well maintained, there's 50 and 100 that aren't. On Padayatra in Tamil Nadu. Every few hundred meters practically, there's another temple on the side of the road. So many temples, and many of them quite big and quite old, and they're mostly neglected. There's, you know, some whitewashed thing and everything dirty and bat dung and some pujari who wakes up and waves a lamp and rings a bell and holds out a plate and then goes back to whatever he's doing. And the deities are badly dressed and no one comes. Just now and then some people come, but there's not. And the land is, the deities used to have so much land, it's confiscated now by the government to give to the people or to give to the government officers. And things are very much neglected. Even the churches, there are so many great big churches, and empty, so many of them. Maybe on Sunday they get a crowd, but mostly empty. So the temple worship also, and the temple worship used to be like the standard of worship that we find in Tirupati. That gives some idea of the standard of worship. Very opulent worship, very grand scale worship. That was the standard, or better than that. Oh, now who can do it? We struggle to get enough money to keep the temple doors open and have a modest program. That kind of grand temple worship. Not to be seen. And people are not interested. Even I was in one temple in Jagannathpuri. That's Toto Gopinath Temple. And I was talking with the pujari, and very nice man, and he was saying that he'd been pujari there for so many years, I don't know, 30 years or something like that. Before him, his father was the pujari for so many years. I think before that, his grandfather must have been the pujari for so many years. I asked him, is your son there? He said, yes. He said, but I don't know if he'll stick with this money. You know, now the sons of pujaris are going to university to learn information technology. So the future sanctity of the temples, even at the state that they're in, is very much in doubt in this age.
In this age, people have a very short lifetime. By the end of Dwapara Yuga, it comes down to maybe 100 years. And now, if somebody's 100 years old, it's like, ooh, quite exceptional. Now I'm 60, so many of my godbrothers are kicking off, leaving. Just like I saw a message today, one of my god sisters has left. So the messages are coming quite regularly. Every month or so, another name, another, not just a name, but another wonderful devotee leaves. Because 60 is like, 50, 60, 40. People are dying of diseases at 40, 50, 60. Some of 70, 80. I think Srila Puri Maharaj, she left not so long ago. Srila Prabhupada's godmother, he was what, 90 something? About 90 something. He was considered very, very old. Before him, the other Puri Maharaj also didn't reach 100. It's very rare now someone lives to 100 years of age. Even people, they live such a life that they die in their 20s. Drug overdose, AIDS, get shot robbing a grocery store, 20, 25. Otherwise, someone dies of old age at 70. It's quite normal. Prayin alpa ayusha. Alpa ayusha means duration of life. Alpa, very short. Prayin alpa ayusha shakya. Kalivasmin yuge jana. In this age of quarrel. People are dying just of quarrel. Just from anxiety of fighting with their wives, with their husbands, with the tax authorities, with their employees, with their employers, with the man on the street. Everything's a fight. Arguing and bickering on an individual level, family level. And what to speak of the national, we're hearing today from Bhaktivedanta about the national fights. If someone's elected, then so many people from the other tribe will be killed in the election. They'll fight over who gets elected to office. On the international level, fighting and quarreling, squabbling over property, over resources, over money, over power. The employers are fighting with labor, labor's fighting with the employers. Each company is fighting against its rival companies. Courts are full of people fighting over innumerable causes. Quarrels just erupt by the bad nature of this age. Instead of being tolerant, instead of, no, I'll take you to court. Let's fight it out. Come around the corner and let's settle this. Kalavasmin Yuga. This is Kali Yuga, the age of quarrel. The atmosphere is pervaded by quarrel, dissension, disagreement. And manda, people are very slow in spiritual realization. Manda. Fast for sense gratification.
That's love for self-realization. And sumandhamatiya. If anyone's interested in self-realization, there are so many Swami Babas and others who are ready to cheat them. So, this way or that way. Who is it? One national leader has become God? Who is telling? What was that story? Some, the world was going to end in 2008. God predicted, he was God, he predicted the world would end in 2008. Now he's changed his prediction, it's 2012. And, you know, somebody will believe him. Probably a lot of somebodies. Mandabhagya, therefore Mandabhagya. Short life and quarrel, slow intelligence, and bad, materialistic, even vicious, demonic leadership. Mandabhagya, people are very unfortunate. Governments and corporations and banks picking their pocket. So many ways, unfortunate. Living in nasty, miserable cities, packed up in passion. Mandabhagya. Spiritual realization neglected. Human form of life wasted. Upadrutta, always in anxiety. These are the symptoms of Kali Yuga. Even between husband and wife, 50% of the marriages end in divorce because of fighting. Therefore, kalotat harikirtan. In Kali Yuga, the method of spiritual realization is harikirtan, chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Yaraknoti, taraknoti, kalot, sankirtikation. Whatever one could get in the previous ages by these other methods, one can get in Kali Yuga. Simply by chanting the holy name of the Lord. So, Kalera Dosha Nipay Rajana Svidekam. The age of quarrel is like an ocean of faults, but the one good thing is the chanting of the holy names of Krishna, by which one can get free from material entanglement and go back to God. So the sages say, now we know that Kali Yuga has come, and therefore we've taken shelter of this sacred place. That's a symptom of advanced devotees. They're eager to live in the place which is connected with the Lord. They're eager to live in a holy place. It's a symptom, one of the items of cultivating knowledge. Vivikta Desha Sevi Plum, to live in a place which is a secluded place, sanctified place. So this Naini Sharanya is one of the holy places situated in North India. Is it still in UP or is it now, is it someplace else with all this requirement of the states? Naini Sharanya? Enormous? Anyway, it's there in North India. How about that? Thank you very much. You can turn this up. It was nice. I liked that atmosphere. We can turn off the... Just in the last half hour, how much electricity has been saved? Well, we'll see. I
I guess it wasn't all, was it all of Nairobi that these things come from? We don't know.
Just this part.
Just the neighborhood. Anyway, neighborhood saved a lot of money. The electric company did it. But they're disappointed. You know, the electricity goes off and there's no television. And, you know, they just sit around and wait for the television, you know, wait for the television to come on. But the devotees are happy chanting Hare Krishna and hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. So, Kshetrashman, Vaishnava, Vayam. Although they do find other things. There was some blackout in New York City for quite serious blackout. It was just like, it was winter and all the electricity was just gone. And 9 months later, there were a lot of extra births. So people did find something to do. But that's not what devotees spend their time in. Kshetrasmin Vaishnava Vayam. We've gathered in this sacred place, Vaishnava, a place meant for devotees. The devotees are eager to live in a place like Vrindavan, Mayapur, Jagannath Puri, or any of the holy places, Dwarka, holy places, Kurukshetra, connected with the Lord. The materialists flock to Las Vegas or Paris or whatever, wherever they think there's sense gratification. But the devotees are eager to live in a sacred place, especially when there's when the world is terrible, when the prevailing atmosphere is nasty and quarrelsome. They'll take place, shelter of a place like Mayapur or Vrindavan and chant the glories of the Lord. Asina, we're seated here, dirghasatrena, for a prolonged sacrifice. Prolonged sacrifice. So someone, Acharya said, and someone may say, that then why are you asking about Srimad Bhagavatam? If you're interested in sacrifices, the sacrificial Brahmins are doing chanting mantras and throwing grains and fires and doing all that kind of stuff. So what is this that you're chanting, that you're interested in Krishna Katha? Yes, sakshana. Sakshana means a time at our, with time at our disposal. Or it means taking the opportunity. Or the Acharya's comment, taking the pretext. On the pretext of sitting here for a long time doing a big sacrifice, we're actually going to talk about Krishna. That's our real program. That it may seem like we're doing some sort of yajna, some sort of sacrificial religious performances, but actually we're going to talk about Krishna. That's what we do. When there's some religious ceremony, for us, it's just an excuse to chant Hare Krishna. When there's some supposed marriage ceremony, so for us, it's an excuse to chant Hare Krishna, talk about Krishna, and so on. When there's some any event, if there's a sports match, for us, it's an excuse to go out and chant Hare Krishna. If there's a political march, and it's not too rowdy, then we'll go out and chant Hare Krishna. If anything, there's an eclipse, all right, let's chant Hare Krishna. There's an extra month this year, let's chant Hare Krishna. Everything's an excuse for chanting Hare Krishna. That's our program. So, sakshana means taking the opportunity. It's our business as Brahmins to go to a holy place and perform sacrifice. So we're going to do that. But our real purpose is Katayam Hare, that we're going to hear about the wonderful pastimes of Krishna. That's our actual intention. we're not going to be interested in dharmartha kama moksha, in simple mundane religious activities meant for getting money for sense gratification, and then getting disgusted with sense gratification and trying to merge into the existence of God. We're not interested in that. We want to hear about Krishna. Katayam Hare. That's our purpose. We're going to hear about the glories of the Lord and become purified and be enlivened by the wonderful activities of Krishna and look to Sangha Param Vajaya. By hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord, we're going to be happy in this life and at the end of life go back home, back to God. Hare Krishna. Any questions?
Why do we need to do deity worship?
Why do we need to do deity worship?
In Kali Yuga.
In Kali Yuga. Actually, we don't need to do the deity worship. The chanting of the holy name is sufficient. We don't need to do anything else but chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. But along with the chanting, the deity worship will fix us in the personal conception of the Lord and help us purify our existence also. The deity worship is Pancharatri Kivadhi, or the regulative principles of worship. And the chanting of the holy name is Padmavidhi, or the natural activities for broadcasting the glories of the Lord. Of the two, the Padmavidhi is more important, but the two will help us. We'd like parallel lines for a train, parallel tracks, the Bhagavad Vidhi and Pancharatri Vidhi. Maybe you've seen that Gaudiya Math symbol. Have you seen? Sri Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur had a symbol for the Gaudiya Math. On one side, there's a bell, and there's, what else is there? Maybe a lamp, like that. The different items for worship. And on the other side, there's Srimad Bhagavatam, there's Mridanga, there's a printing press, Bhagavad-vidhi. So both things are there. Both things are there.
We become disciplined by deity worship.
Yeah, the deity worship makes us disciplined. We become purified. To worship the deity, we have to learn the principles of being very clean, very regulated. So the deity worship will help us chant Hare Krishna. And chanting Hare Krishna will help us worship the deity. But it's not the deity worship of previous. We're doing a little, you know, we're dressing the deities in plastic beads and, you know, simple, actually. What they were doing in previous ages, I mean, this would not be called deity worship, what we're doing. It's hardly, it's nothing like the standard of deity worship done in the previous ages. And our real deity worship, actually, is the chanting of the holy name. That's our main worship, is the kirtan, chanting Hare Krishna and broadcasting the glories of the Lord, distributing books, worships the deities. When you go out and distribute books for the pleasure of the deities, that's worship. Deity becomes pleased. Krishna is a person. He likes to be glorified. So when you're in the temple glorifying him, he's pleased. And when you go out and glorify him, he's still more pleased. That's not that the deity is unhappy that the temple is empty. He's happy if all the devotees are out broadcasting his glories. That's good. Otherwise, like, what are these guys all doing here? How come they're not out? Okay. Yes.
In the age of Kali Maharaj, what would be the best way of preparing ourselves for the final moment?
chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram. That's the best way to prepare ourselves for the final moment. Chant Hare Krishna, associate with devotees, hear the glories of the Lord from Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu described 64 items of devotional activities. And of those, five are very important: to associate with the devotees, to worship the deity, to hear Srimad Bhagavatam, chant Hare Krishna, and to live in Vrindavan, or a place as good as Vrindavan. These five methods are especially important. By service to Krishna. If we serve Krishna in this life, then in the next life we'll do the same thing. Either here someplace, or in the spiritual world. Even if we have to come back here, if we get to serve Krishna, that's also fortunate. But ideally, we'd like to get out and go back to God. Something else? Yes.
In this age of Kali, unless somebody does something wrong, you will not get effect. Thinking in the mind. But it applies in the spiritual life also?
Yes. Generally. But the thing is, from the mind it expands. If we have all this junk tossing around in our mind, the next thing is we think, we don't want to do it. And then it goes from thinking to willing, and from willing to action. So that's the problem. We may not get reactions in our mind, but because it's in the mind, the next thing is, and even of course in the mind, it's sapping energy. You know, if I shoot one of the devotees in my mind, I may not go to jail, I may not get all the reactions of for killing a devotee. But what's going on in my mind? Instead of thinking about Krishna consciousness, I'm thinking about, if that guy comes near me, I'll shoot him. So it said Krishna doesn't sit in an impure place. Therefore, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his devotees were cleaning the Gundicha temple, then cleaning it again and cleaning it again, to get out of all the little dust particles even, so that Krishna would be pleased to sit there. Well, we have to follow that process with the mind also. Make it pure, more pure, more pure, more pure, so that the Lord will be pleased to appear in our mind instead of the shadow of the Lord, the material energy. Okay. Yes.
I've learned about the chanting of the holy name. Christians, Muslims chant the names of God.
Yeah, that's good.
Not necessarily the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. So what's wrong with that?
Nothing wrong. That's good.
But we insist on them to chant the Hare Krishna.
No. Prabhupada said you chant any name. You want to chant the name of Allah, or you want to chant the name of Jehovah, or you want to, that's all right. That's okay. God has so many names, who can chant any name and follow four ordinary principles. We were discussing Vinapushan. This animal killing is very destructive to spiritual progress. So they should chant whatever name they find in their scriptures, and give up this animal killing. Animal killing, gambling, eating, intoxication, gambling, illicit sex, these things. And chant the name of God. Okay?
What about cockroach killing in the house? Killing to cockroaches in the house.
Prabhupada just said one time, said, you should be killed. Because cockroaches come where things are dirty. So it's our duty to be clean. Otherwise the rats come, the cockroaches come, like all these creatures come. Because we're inviting them. Come on over to our place, we're having a feast for you. Yes.
Sometimes when you go out preaching the local people, you might ask them to chant Hare Krishna. And sometimes they tell us that you should be switched. Sometimes they tell us that.
Sometimes what?
They tell us that we should be chanted by the mother tongue.
They chant what?
In the vernacular language.
Oh, they want to chant the mother tongue? They can't chant in the mother tongue.
So when they chant by the mother tongue, is it wrong?
Is it wrong if they chant in the vernacular language?
No, that's okay. Chant. We'll work out the details later. Chant some name of God. That's our policy. So you want to chant in your mother tongue? That's all right. First chant. After chanting in your mother tongue, you may find that chanting Hare Krishna is still more nice. But all right, you want to chant? Fine.
If somebody has objection, somebody does not want to chant Hare Krishna, they can chant your mother.
Yeah, we don't mind. We're in favor of chanting the holy name of God. So you want to chant your mother tongue, father tongue? Anytime.
In English, Hare Krishna is Hare Krishna. In Swahili, Hare Krishna is Hare Krishna.
Yeah, Hare Krishna is the universal. Yeah, that's how you say Hare Krishna in Swahili, right?
Hare Krishna. It remains the same.
Yeah, it's the same.
Sometimes it's like,
I couldn't hear.
Sometimes they can chant.
They say, we can chant God, God, or Jesus, Jesus.
Okay, chant God, God. Just chant the holy name of God. You want to chant God, God? All right. See, you may become more attracted to chanting Hare Krishna. But all right, chant God, God. It's better than what you're chanting now. Now you're chanting Tusker, Tusker. Yes.
Whatever name you chant, is the benefit the same?
Mm-hmm. No, it's said that by chanting Hare Krishna, you become attracted to Krishna. So that's, you get the highest benefit. God has so many forms. But you chant, even it's said that 1,000 names of Vishnu equal one name of Rama. And 3 names of Rama equal one name of Krishna. So Krishna is the ultimate name because Krishna is the ultimate form of God. But on the other side, as we were discussing yesterday, God is absolute, so there's no difference. Advaitam achyutam anadim. Although Krishna is the highest form, any form of God is identical with Krishna in one sense. So they can chant any name of God. We'll chant Hare Krishna. Anything else? Yes.
What about everyone doing deity worship at home? You're close to the temple, but you have deities at home.
Yeah, well, this is a whole
program
issue. In general, Srila Prabhupada encouraged the devotees that if you're living in the temple or near the temple, then worship the temple deity. But I'm not going to get into that, a whole discussion about that. But that was the instruction the Prabhupada gave. Something else.
worship temple deity, they will develop attachment with the temple.
Mm.
They will progress more, than sadhu will come to the temple, they will associate.
Mm. Yeah, that benefit is there. That benefit is there. Yeah, Prabhupada encouraged devotees. Even this is a very old system, that in towns like Guruvayur or Sri Rangam, so many, even smaller places, there's a temple, and then surrounding the temple, there are so many quarters for the Brahmins. Where that Sri Paramahansa there, Rajiv Gandhi was killed. There's a very old temple there. And surrounding the temple, it's very, practically every temple town is arranged that way originally. That the temple is there, and then surrounding the temple, the residences for the pujaris, the Brahmins, are surrounding the temple so that they can come and do service. It's a very old system, sensible. Even when we build a temple, then we try to acquire properties surrounding the temple so that the devotees can conveniently live near the deity and come and render service. And many of our communities are like that, Los Angeles being notable. That, you know, it's not just getting a temple, but then getting the surrounding properties so that devotees can live near the deity and render service. That's a very old system. That's sensible. Then the conception develops that we're all servants of the deity.
Can I
just
think by having deities at home, the children get involved. And
louder, please, louder, louder. If you could shout.
By having deities at home, I think it's important that the children will get involved, and there's a sense of that the parents are worshipping the deities, offering food, offering water, doing arti.
Yeah, and that's why I wasn't going to get into the whole discussion. Of course, if the parents are always going to the temple, then the children are also going, seeing the deity. Prabhupada used to live nearby one temple, Radha Govinda. And from his childhood, he was seeing the deity and getting the impression of the deity. So that's there also. But yes, there's benefit to living near the temple and worshipping the temple deity, and there's benefit to having the deity at home. And I can say too much more than that. Get to the deity wars here. The age of quarrel will argue about the deities. If we're going to argue about something, better to argue about Krishna. Kept in storage and not worshipped.
They're not being worshipped.
Yeah.
Even a person can have deities at home, and then maybe he travels, leave their home, the deities alone and attended. That's not a bad thing.
Yeah, that's not very good. That the deities in the temple are neglected, or that the deities at home are neglected. Therefore, there's the householders will try to make some arrangement. The brother will worship the deity, and the mother will worship the deity, somebody will worship the deity, so things will go on. Or they'll take the deity with them and worship.
In the beginning, people keep deity. But later on, they don't cannot maintain enthusiasm. Without chanting Hare Krishna, they neglect. Therefore, chanting is essential and they can associate with temple devotees.
Yeah.
We have seen practically how so many there. In the beginning, they worship maybe few months, few years. And because they spend more time in deity worship than chanting. And they are very busy at home and then work, it is difficult to get connected with the temple.
Of course, to spend a lot of time worshipping the deity is not bad either. But we place great Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Now, any one of these five things, so worshipping the deity is also good. But if when we come to the temple, we do all of the things. We associate with the devotees, we hear Srimad Bhagavatam, we chant Hare Krishna, we live in a sacred place. Sadhu Sangha, Krishna Sevanta, Bhagavatam Nam, all of the things. Yes. I have a whole seminar on that. Who has that seminar? Do you have that? You copied it? So Mukunda's got, 4 days worth of 2 hours a day discussion on that. So you can listen to that. That'll be better than my 5 minutes. In general, we should chant what we've heard from the previous acharyas. We should not concoct mantras. We should chant what the acharyas have chanted. And we should chant with love and devotion, not to make a shot. There's so much that can be said. Anyway, therefore, that seminar is there, Kirtan Reform Seminar. Highly recommended. Everybody, Mom, Mukunda, get your copy of Kirtan Reform Seminar. Did I give the text of it also?
No.
I didn't give you the text. Okay, so I can give you that also. I think it's also online at iskandesiretree.com. Right? But it's a quicker download from Mukunda.
Our teachers are here. We need some seminar on Kata and other ones. We have a teacher who can play.
Yeah, who played the other day was very good.
Vinay.
He was very good. He was right on target.
But he's a student, not he's not a teacher.
Sometimes teachers play.
Vinay is a student.
Mukunda taught him?
He teaches, yeah, everybody's teaching.
So now he can teach you, he can teach his teachers. The first thing about playing instruments is to hear. Just for the others, ISKCON's full of mridanga players who can play. They know lots of beats, they know lots of slick moves. But one out of 1,000 listens. That used to be the first thing that we learned, was that you have to listen carefully. Someone is leading, so the mridanga player has to follow. That's the number one rule. He maybe know lots and lots of cool things, or he may just, you know, know a simple beat. But if he can listen, that's really good. That's more important than technique, fancy technique, to be able to listen and follow. Yes, that's in Kirtan somewhere also. Manusya Nam Sahasrishma. Anything else? Okay. Oh. Okay.
As a student, when we chant, it's supposed to help us to remember Krishna the whole day. But sometimes as a student you have to study. It's like when you chant, rather in the evenings, then in the school you force yourself to listen to the teachers, think about your material studies. So it's like in the most of 8 to 10 hours you're just thinking of studies, material studies, and then you chant in the evenings. So how do you balance the student life?
You want to know how I balanced it? I quit school. Anyway, what do I know about balancing studies with other things? I quit school when I was 16. And I've never regretted it. Parents love me for saying these things. Study, study, study. And people think, you know, it's also business. School is very much a business. College? These are business institutions, finally. They have to get enough students to justify their financial goals. You know, seats aren't filled, so they have to advertise and they have to get you to think that without college your life is going to be a failure unless you've spent 4 years paying us money. Your life is going to go to hell. You'll end up in poverty and misery. But it's not true. And so often actually it's what people learn at college or university that makes their life miserable. Because there's a lot more there than what's in the books. All sorts of bad habits, bad association, bad values, bad ideas, bad everything one can pick up at the university. And you have to pay for that too. Pay money to become contaminated. And actually, as far as fortune goes, if it's meant to come your way, you'll get it no matter what. There are people who, you know, do 4 years of college and then business school and this and that, and money just looks at them and runs in the opposite direction. And other people, you know, drop out of school. Steve Jobs had an Apple computer. I think he quit school and became, you know, big multimillionaire. So, of course, not everyone is, I don't say that you quit school and become rich like Steve Jobs. But it's not that the university bestows upon you wealth and good fortune. It's Krishna who bestows upon you good fortune. and wealth if it's meant to come your way. Just like poverty, it just comes of its own accord. Sometimes even, people who are rich and super well educated and everything else, sometimes their fortunes just go whoosh. So similarly, people who have no background can go the other way. So university education is much overrated. Probably called the educational institutions slaughterhouses. I think I'm being conservative in the bad things I say about the universities. Probably use terms like slaughterhouse. That's quite strong. I was there.
Durgapur Institute of Technology. Yesterday, today I was going through the site. They have reached Durgapur Institute of Technology. They are setting up a congregation there.
Yeah.
And interesting, IIT Kharagpur. You know, ISKCON Mayapur is already standing there. I mean, they are setting up a platform for the purpose of.
Yeah, I was there at Kharagpur. We have a whole program there. The university is trying to keep us out. They schedule things. You know, anybody who comes to our programs, it's like the university is trying to give them a hard time. So we have sort of an underground movement at IIT Kharagpur. It's very, and very successful. The students are very enthusiastic. It's great. All over India we have a lot of college programs, youth programs, and the brightest young people are becoming very serious about Krishna consciousness. That's the real education, Raja Vidya. Adhyatma Vidya Vidyana. Krishna says that among all forms of education, I'm spiritual education. Adhyatma Vidya Vidyana. The so-called vidyalayas are mostly avidyalayas. They're places where instead of giving knowledge, they're giving ignorance. I could go on and on this topic. I could say things that. You wouldn't even discuss in polite company. But they're places of missions. The teachers are not saints. They're not sadhus. They're not spiritually chosen for their spiritual advancement. And students, they're not going there for spiritual advancement. So it's mostly cat and dog life, actually. Real knowledge. Agyanam yadatonyata. The real items of knowledge described in the Bhagavad Gita, it's the 13th chapter. Amanitvam adambitam himsak shantirarjana. Acharya, Pasano, Chocham, Stariam, Atma, Vinigraha, Vijayarteshu, Vairakim, Anahankara, Mevachar, Janma, Ritu, Jaraviyadi, Durga, Rosh, and Darshan, Asakta, Vishvanka, Putra, Dara, Grihadshu. Cham, Samachitta, Cham, Ishtanishto, Patishu. Nityam cha samjita tvamishta nishta mayi cha namya yogena bhakti yavya vichayam vivikta desha sevitam adhiyo jana samsari adhyatma jnana nityam tvam tattva jnana artha darshana eta jnana piti bhaktam jnana meditam. These are the items of knowledge. And Sri Prabhupada discusses them in the Isha Upanishad also. It's a nice discussion on these items of knowledge. Items of knowledge means items for developing knowledge. Now we don't have time to talk about all of them.
bhakti.
Bhakti, abhyavicharani, bhakti, bhakti yoga. Jhana vritya, yadi dukkha dosha. Always be aware of the miseries of birth, death, disease, and old age. Acharya upasana, to worship the bona fide spiritual master. Atma vinigraha, self-control. The universities were all noted as places of self-control, right? Nasty places. So just chant Hare Krishna and plant a bomb in your university. Or make all the students Krishna conscious. Look for the opportunities. How to tell your friends about Krishna, give them books about Krishna, arrange for chanting of Hare Krishna. Prahlad Maharaj did that. He was just a student. So Prabhupada said during the tiffin hour, when there was a break, he would preach to the students, come on, let's talk about Krishna, let's talk about spiritual realization. And the students would say, ah, Prahlad, we want to play. And he would say, no. It's human life is meant for spiritual realization. So gradually he convinced them. And Prabhupada said, in this way he ruined the whole school. So give it a shot. Is that what you wanted to hear? Chant Hare Krishna, Krishna Mahaprabhu. Okay. Thank you all very much.
Hare Krishna, one announcement.
Announcements.
Lala's book distribution meeting.